Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, it's Becky Brown, and today we are going to just talk about all kinds of things, and we need you to call us. So you can call us at 1-800-229-3000, and by we're going to start with Dr. Jill Hubbard and myself, and then J.J. West will join us later. How are you doing, Jill?
Hi, Becky. Doing great. Happy
you know,
to be with you.
Me too. And you know, it's amazing. I don't know if the listening audience realizes this, but I'm in Ohio and Jill is in California.
But I'm flying to Ohio, Becky, this week, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Well, it's a great place to be. It's sunny today. And you know, but here's the thing. Isn't it amazing that the technology has created this connection for us? I mean, not just here on the program, but all in all kinds of ways. I know so many of us communicate with each other and connect with each other through text messaging and, you know, everything from Zoom to FaceTime. But are we really connecting? I mean, Jill, what do you see with this new kind of way to connect?
Right, Becky. I'm grateful for it, for sure, because it has certainly bridged the gap and has given people at least some semblance of connection. But is it really the full deal? Right. Mm-hmm. I think that in all of this pseudo connection, we're losing some really important development, especially for younger people, of really understanding what it means to be in the presence of another and to feel that sense of calm that you can get from relationship. Instead, I think people are having more and more social anxiety. And so they opt for more of the remote connection, right?
Right.
So, and what's that? What is that doing? It's breeding more and more really disconnection, or just this kind of pseudo connection that isn't the full effect that we gain from being connected to others.
Right. There's so much to be gained by being, you know, in another's presence. And, you know, before all the technology, one of the big challenges that we would see in counseling a lot of times was in couples and their disconnection, everything from their schedules, you know, the workplace, kids, you know, everybody just, you know, gets disconnected. And even though we have this technology, we are still hearing how disconnected couples
right.
are.
I know couples that will like text from the other room, right? Instead of having a face-to-face conversation. And it is difficult in marriage to stay connected, right? You're with the person 24/7 and connection is not a constant, right? It's like we connect, and the same as like our intimacy with God. We connect and then we pull back, and then we connect and we pull back. There are spaces in between connection. But that is kind of the way it's supposed to be. But with couples, what we find is that those spaces get bigger and bigger and bigger. Right? They start out small. Like I always have thought about it, I don't know why, like a string of pearls. The pearl is the connection, and then you've got the knot in between that is the space, right? But as that stretches out and you've got more space there, it's like this slow crack, this wedge, that then you look back and you don't know how you even got to that spot.
It's so true. So true. And, you know, we have, over the years, you know, we've developed the workshop, the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop, where couples really understand how their history, not just as a couple, but where they came from, where they learned to connect, what they watched in their own family of origin. And one thing that we've taught couples over time is, you know, you've got to make those bids for connection. You have to reach out And it's got to be more than just how was your day, because right. it's going to be fine. But we can teach you all of those things. So maybe if that's the issue that you're dealing with, you know, give us a call and join us. But you can call us today, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking your calls. We have lines open, 1-800-229-3000. You know, just to revisit the disconnection in couples, one way that you can connect with somebody, whether it is a spouse or a child or anybody that's in your life, you can ask them to give you three feeling words to describe their day. And let's say you just say, so Jill, give me three feeling words to describe your day. What would you say? You don't have to be completely transparent. Just make up something. Yes, let's play along.
Oh, let's see. I'm feeling joyous today. I'm feeling, what else? Apprehensive about some things. Right? Mm-hmm. And content about other things.
Yeah. So see, you can see how that gave me a lot of information, right? Mm-hmm. Without even being specific. And I think so many times if we can learn to identify our feelings with someone else, then it gives us, you know, of course I would say, Jill, what are you joyous about? Or what brings you joy today? And, you know, it's simple, but it really makes a difference in our connection, and you don't have to fix anything, and it's not a matter of, well, you shouldn't feel that way. It's literally just sharing with someone how your insides are doing. And right. you know, there are days that you may not feel joyous or content.
Yes,
but that could help you as well.
Mm-hmm. because I'm also feeling apprehensive about some things. So, right, mm-hmm. which would be a place of, oh, okay, you've got these good things going on, but there's a part of your life, right, that maybe you're a little bit more worried about. So you right. can, you know, dive into that with a person. And I think, Becky, you're right. Couples get into these patterns, and we always call it the dance, right? And everybody mm-hmm. or both people in the couple do the same dance steps, regardless of the content. And so you tend to then get into these patterns of conversation. And how often in those patterns do you not say the things you really would want to say? Or are there areas that you start avoiding, or you're apprehensive about bringing up a topic? And so you kind of just gloss over it until these patterns set in. Back when I did my book, The Secrets Women Keep, we did a survey of people, and one of the number one secrets was Christian women that feel so alone in their marriages. How sad is that? There are so many single women, hey, that are saying, I'd love to have a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And that you feel alone. So when did the disconnect start to happen, right? Mm-hmm. When did that crack start getting wider and wider? And what's the fear in bringing something up? And this is why we work with couples to help them, because couples inadvertently hurt each other. They polarize, mm-hmm. and then they go into protective mode. And sometimes the person you're living with becomes the least safe person in your life. And that's a really sad state.
It is so true. And I think there are a lot of internal conversations, like mm-hmm. what you're describing, Jill, that we don't share how we feel or our disappointment, because mm-hmm. we either don't have the words for it, or we have been there before and it hasn't been successful. Right. So we just, you know, and we've had those calls over the years where, right. you know, the couples get into this routine, and then before you know it, there is no connection whatsoever.
Yeah.
There are a lot of couples, though, that get into conflict connection, mm-hmm. that the place where they connect is in the argument or in
sure.
the conflict.
Right, right. And so they'll even stir up an argument just to have some right. aliveness in the relationship.
Right, right. It is so, and it's so funny because you think, well, that is not the way that marriage is supposed to go. But I would say if you are married and you are fighting a lot with your spouse, you have to ask yourself, what is really the issue here? Mm-hmm. Is it the thing that we're fighting about, or is it some disconnect that we cannot really see each other or share with each other mm-hmm. what's really going on inside? Because there's right. always going to be something that's going to trigger a lot of problems, you know, because life is, you know, lifey. Yeah. It just, it causes some lifey. Challenges. Yep, it sure is. But I would just encourage you, you know, if you are married and would like to join us at our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. this summer, and we know that it could be just a blessing for your family. And we are joined now by J.J. West. Hello, J.J. How are you doing today?
Hi, Becky. I'm well. I'm glad to be on.
Yay. Hi, J.J.
Well, hi, how are you?
Good.
We were talking about, you know, couples and connection, and I know you are going to be one of our speakers at Intimacy and Marriage this summer. And, you know, that whole process of helping couples get connected is, you know, it is the work that we have in front of us. Mm-hmm. What are some key, just maybe off the top of your head, what are some key things that couples could begin to do to reconnect in their relationship?
So, you know, I caught the tail end of your interaction when I first got on, and you were talking about this idea of sharing emotions with one another, sharing what are you feeling? That's one of the key things that couples rarely talk about. You know, they'll talk about, you know, what happened during the day, or they'll discuss the schedule for the family or even upcoming trips, that sort of thing. But rarely do couples just sit down and talk about, give me one or two or three feeling words that mm-hmm. describe where you're at today. We don't take the time to do that. And so we only are connecting on maybe an intellectual level, or we're connecting on a scheduling level, but we're not connecting on a heart-to-heart level. We're not connecting on an emotional level. So, mm-hmm. so learning to share, to communicate about emotions is key. I would highlight Mylan and Kay's book, right? Read How We Love, go through it together, learn the comfort circle, go through the they call them soul words, their feeling mm-hmm. words. If nothing else, go print out a feeling wheel off the internet mm-hmm. and use that as the basis, as the beginning basis for beginning to describe how I feel to my partner. So number one, learning to communicate emotions. And then number two would be taking time, spending time together, doing activities together, not living separately. Sorry, you were about to say something, Becky.
Well, I was just going to say, so JJ, you know, for many of us counselors, we're pretty good at feeling words, but you know, what about those folks that are just like, feelings are just not me. I don't know what to do with that.
A thinker over a feeler.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, if we don't have the vocabulary, we have to learn the vocabulary. Mm-hmm. If, you know, I'm very bad at speaking Spanish. I'm maybe a little bit better at speaking French, but still really, really bad. There's lots of languages that I don't know how to speak. If I wanted to be able to communicate to someone who spoke that language, I would need to learn the vocabulary. And so I don't know lots of feeling words. So someone may say that. I don't know a lot of feeling words. I don't know how to describe how I feel. Well, you learn the vocabulary. You sit with a feeling, a list of feeling words or a feeling wheel, and you begin to investigate which of these words best describes me. And if you're really, like I have I have one of those for kids, where mm-hmm. it's got the cartoon faces.
Yes.
And so I'll use that for children who have a hard time describing their feeling words. But I'll also use it for, quite frankly, for a lot of men who grew up in an environment where they were told to suppress their feelings. They weren't taught mm-hmm. how to identify their feelings. So I'll give them that cheat sheet. That's a fine place to start.
Yes.
Yeah. JJ, language, learn it.
Right. I have that from years ago. Years and decades ago, and I still use it. But it's kind of like the modern day emojis, right? Just with the words identifying. Because sometimes you look at emojis and you go, I'm not quite sure what that is, but
isn't that such a great, I mean, that goes back to our opening conversation about technology that we do use that. Well, I just want to encourage you listeners, as you hear us talk about just these ways of learning, a new way of describing our feelings and a new language. If you need help with that, we are here for you. We're also taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We are going to go to Denny, who's calling us from Overland Park, Kansas, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Denny. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I had a comment, I think it was for Bridget, basically yesterday, that then she was having some difficulty kind of prejudging people, I think, at their lifestyles and stuff. I just wanted to say that Jesus gave us the instruction to his disciples, and I think on to us, that our duty commandment was to go and tell all the world about the gospel of the good news of Jesus, and that there was a work of the Holy Spirit to convict people. It's not our job to convince them to accept Jesus, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And I think once that takes place in a person, and if they if they're convicted to change their lifestyle, we could help instruct them, come to us. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit to convict someone. We're not to have to persuade them, but it is our job and commandment to tell the world about Jesus and his plan of salvation for us. And basically that was just my comment that I hope that Bridget is listening to, and that
it's very kind of you, Denny. It's very kind of you to call back, and you're right. It is our call to do that. Jill, go ahead.
And that's why, Denny, we were talking about how to treat people just like people, not as a project of someone you've got to fix, or you've got to make sure they know all of the scripture against what they're doing. No, you connect with them. And we were talking about connection, that people are not going to accept what you have to offer if you don't care about them, if you don't connect with them and aren't kind to them. I agree.
I used to have a pastor said people aren't concerned about how much you know until they know how much you are.
Yeah.
They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're supposed to allow the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to work in people's lives.
We appreciate you calling, Denny, and mm-hmm. we're going to send you a copy of Every Believer's Thought Life, which is what we sent Bridget yesterday. But I love your spirit. I love the love that we have for Christ has to be manifested in our relationships, both in church as well as our neighbors. And I know it is challenging sometimes because people are challenging, and so are you. So we just need to practice that all the time. But thanks for calling, Denny. We are continuing to take calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk with John, who's calling us from Waldorf, Maryland. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today? Are you there, John?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are. Hi, how can we help you today?
I attended the Everyman Battle back in the Washington, D.C. area a couple of weeks back. And J.J. Did an amazing job. And my primary, counselor was Doug. With Doug Boggs, and me and my guys, it was a total of six of us in our, sessions, and we still keep in touch with one another. It was just a mind-blowing experience that I encountered with you all. And I just want to give my testimony because it brought me back to my wife. It got me back to reading my Bible, got me back to learning to love her when I was not loving her in the past. It's just to the point that right now I'm reading a book worthy of her trust, and I'm trying to build that trust back with her. And I take this book with me, and I hold my dog chains that was given to me at Every Man's Battle, and the emotion that I saw every other man hated, because they know what they had at home was worth what they was out there seeking. And I was
awesome.
One of those men.
That's and, awesome. John, hold on. We got a break coming up, but we want to talk more with you after this break. We're still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Yes, that is 1-800-229-3000. Right now, we are talking with John. And John, you were saying that your experience at Every Man's Battle was really life-changing, and you're so grateful for the experience. But you know what? I really want you to be able to talk about what was the final thing that made you go? Like, what was it that you decided, you know what, I need to go, and you made that decision?
Well, the reason why I made that decision is because I wanted to keep my wife and my family. And mm-hmm. I think that was the first step for me to acknowledging what I need to go through to heal myself. Mm-hmm. And because I've been not honest with my wife for a long time. We've been mm-hmm. together 28 years. We have three kids. Wrong kids at that. Mm-hmm. And I think I've lost sight of the love I had for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some things that was not godlike, but I'm a living testimony that things could change around. I was shameful for the things I've done, try to hide it, because I know God, I was not that man of God that God wanted me to be.
Hmm.
And I was willing to open up to men. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that JJ's on today? You want to speak directly to him? He's right here.
Yeah, that's the reason. That's the reason why I'm on, because I was told he was going to be here on the 18th. I missed him a couple of weeks ago. But JJ, I thank you for the seminar that we had back in it was actually in Ashburn, Virginia, I believe. But I shared testimonies with strangers. I cried with strangers. Mm. It was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And it bring me back to where I need to be, not only with God, but with my wife, my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a better understanding of the man I need to be
mm-hmm.
going forward. And me and my wife, we're doing good. We're doing date night. We're going to a concert on May 7th, you know, so I'm just getting and focusing on my wife mm-hmm. now, so I can continuously keep my family intact.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking the tools that you've given us, but given me, to be a better man. I'm reading my Bible. I keep my dog chains on me. And I'm still mm-hmm. in contact with my other comrades, you know, that's in mm-hmm. this battle. And that's not, I know it's not going to happen overnight. But eventually, at the end of the tunnel, I'm going to see that light.
Thank you.
And I'm doing I'm doing with God first,
mm-hmm.
myself, and others.
Okay. Yes. That's awesome.
I thank
you. Mm. John, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for that encouragement. It just warms my heart to hear your voice, to hear the impact that the workshop had on you. And we see this month after month after month. This is not an anomaly. This is the normal experience that guys have at the workshop, that they go in, maybe even before they've even decided to go, like John, they're filled with shame. They might even believe there's no chance, there's no hope, it's all over. There's no way that we could ever come back from the mistakes that I've made, the bad choices that I've made. Something convinces them to give it one more try. They go to the workshop and God opens doors that they never thought possible. Mm-hmm. God restores things that they thought were forever destroyed. It's amazing to see month after month. And yes, it doesn't happen overnight. You're absolutely right, John. There's a long road of healing that needs to take place. We talk about that at the workshop. But it has to start somewhere. It mm-hmm. doesn't happen overnight, but I've got to begin the path of healing. I've got to right. start the work. If I ever expect to get to the place of healing, I got to right. start the work now and come into the workshop and then going home and putting it into practice, rebuilding the trust, reading Worthy of Her Trust, but then putting those things into practice to rebuild that trust with your wife. That's where the change happens. And so glad that you called and so glad that you, that it was a benefit to you.
Right. I think it's great. And you know, if you're a man who's struggling with your sexual integrity and you heard John and you were encouraged by that, give us a call and we'll get you connected to the next Every Man's Battle and you'll get to see you'll just have the same experience where you've experienced that freedom. We're going to continue taking calls. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Right now we're going to go to Rick, who's calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina, listens on the app, and you can too. You can download it free wherever you get your apps. Oh, and Rick, here's the music. Hold on, and we'll come back right after the break. I don't want to get you started on the question and then we have to disrupt it, but you know, okay. We are so excited to be able to offer this month Henry Cloud's newest book called Trust for a gift of any amount to New Life Ministries. It will help other people, but the book itself is going to help you. And so if you want to get a copy of Dr. Henry Cloud's latest book called Trust, you can just give us a call, and for a gift of any amount, we'll send one your way. We are continuing to take calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to Rick right after this break, but perhaps you have something on your heart or your mind that you want to have some help with, you know, Jill and JJ would be a great way to get started on your path to freedom.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Like Terry just said, and I said before, we are continuing to take your calls at 1-800-229-3000. But right now, we are talking with Rick, or actually, we're going to get to talk to Rick, who's calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina, listens on the app. Hi, Rick. Thanks for hanging on. How can we help you today?
Hey. Okay, I'm going to try not to ramble here so I can get to my question here. Quickly about my upbringing. I grew up in the foster system. Actually, my biological mother, she had me out of adultery, and then my biological father took his own life before I was born. But I was in and out of the foster system and finally had a set of foster parents who finally raised me. And I've dealt with depression, but I've flown under the radar. I'm 57 now. Through successful business and hard work, but finally, I guess after a while, that kind of comes to light, and you have to start dealing with it. Depression through my foster family, not really considering me real family. You know, you pose for pictures, and then later on, you go to their house, and you see a picture without you in it, I've really battled with that for a long time, and Actually, I had my own children, and that really really a blessing. Mm-hmm. I've always hated Christmas. I hate Christmas again now that my kids are 21 or 22, 23, and 24, and I'm divorced. But then also there's a secret that actually my foster family had me when I was in around second and third grade, and then I had to go to a boys' home to live with my biological brother for about 5 years, and then I finally got out and got to go back with my family at the, around the eighth grade. But the thing is, my foster father sexually molested me.
Oh, gosh, Rick.
Oh.
And so sorry.
And nobody, it's been a secret, and and actually, when I was younger, around eighth grade, a few of my cousins, like around 3 and 4 years younger than me, we were caught doing some stuff. It wasn't sex or anything, but I was at fault, and I had a lot of shame over that. And I wanted to say something then, but I knew even at my young age, I was just afraid I wouldn't have a family. And so I lived with shame for years. Probably about 12 years or so ago, one of them tried to extort money out of me. And actually, I went to my sister about it, and he actually got in trouble and had to serve time over it. He was trying to publicly humiliate me, you know.
Gosh.
But anyway, that kind of made it resurface. It didn't really make it resurface, but, you know, of course, my wife, you know, she knew, found out about it. But to this day, nobody knows about my molestation, you know.
Well, thank you for trusting us with that. Do you have a specific question for us to help you with today?
Yeah.
We are so sorry for all of this.
Yeah, and I don't want to ramble on, but my question is, I've learned through my closer walk with the Lord that things are not good. Secrets are not kept. Secret sins, you know, it's not good, but I would like to bring this about, but I got a brother-in-law, he's a great guy, and it would devastate. I just don't want to harm my family, but it's just a secret. But it's been with me all my life, you know. And
okay.
One of my pastor friends says, "Well, you know, you've been carrying this long enough, you know."
Well, Rick, let's see if we can.
Let's
see if we can get started. I actually want to start with JJ, if that would be okay, Jill.
Sure.
Well, JJ, what would you offer to Rick? Because I know a lot of the guys that we serve at Every Man's Battle have similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
And keep a lot of those secrets.
Oh, absolutely.
And my mom and dad are passed away. They're not living. They've both been dead for 10 to 15 years. So.
When you, Rick, just so I'm clear, when you refer to your mom and dad who have passed away, are you referring to your foster family or are you referring to the biological foster family?
Yeah, my foster parents. Yeah, I've never seen a picture of my biological father. I mean, I just know who he is.
Gotcha. Okay. So first and foremost, Rick, I do echo just so grateful for your call and so sorry for the multiple traumas that you've had to encounter. Mm-hmm. My biological family was a foster family. They did fostering for decades and they stopped counting at about 300 kids. They just stopped counting at that point because they, you know, it was pointless to continue to try and count. Yeah. But the idea of welcoming a child into your home, but not letting them actually be part of your family, seems so foreign to me because we did the opposite. We still have quote unquote foster siblings who join us for our family gatherings the holidays because they're part of the family. So I'm so sad that you didn't feel like you got that experience. But I have to agree with what I think you said your pastor told you, which is that it's been long enough for you to carry this secret around by yourself. You're absolutely right that we don't thrive when we're carrying secrets. We thrive when we're living in the light. And so part of that is in experiencing the reality that God knows my whole story. But part of the way we experience that is by sharing our story with others. So I'm glad that your wife now knows. Obviously, I wish that it had come out in a different way than through your cousin trying to extort you. But I'm glad that you have that ally. Did you say that you have a brother-in-law that if he found out, he would be devastated? Or did you mean a foster brother?
Foster brother. I got four sisters. And I will say that I have forgiven my foster father on his death before he died. Last thing, the words we said was I told him I loved him, and he told me he loved me. And I don't really believe my foster mother. She may have known. I don't think she did, but maybe she was playing dumb. But I have released that. Actually, I named my second son after him just to, I guess, to prove to myself that I forgiven him.
So secret still from your
forgiveness there?
So the secret is from your siblings, the foster siblings that you grew up with. They don't know.
And my ex-wife don't even know about me being molested. She just knows about what I was trying to be extorted from. I never told her. The only people that knows is a couple of pastors and my pastors now, and I've got a girlfriend I dated for about 3 years. That knows, nobody in my family knows.
Do you see your siblings on some sort of regular basis?
Yeah, we live on the same road, and they call me their brother and everything, but I guess I've been treated more like family now that my foster father passed away and then my mom passed away. Of course, everybody, everybody got their stuff,
I think you need to ask yourself the question, what is it that I'm hoping to gain by sharing this information with my siblings? I think that's, is it that I want to be known by them? If that's the case, I think that there's a tremendous healing that can take place by simply being known at the core level, to be able to share with someone, this is who I am, and this is all that makes me who I am. It's very likely that some of your foster siblings encountered something similar. So it's probably not going to come as that much of a surprise for some of them.
The older, and these siblings are a whole lot older. One of them's got a daughter three months older than me.
So, Rick, hold on just a second, Rick. Jill, what would be some pathway forward for Rick to get into the process?
Well, I'm thinking, Rick, that you need to meet with a therapist, perhaps, and kind of do a dry run of approaching your siblings. And I'm wondering if the foster siblings are biologically related to your foster dad, or are they also foster children?
No. They're biological.
Okay. Because I think talking that through, because what you're sharing with them in wanting to be known is information about their father that they may or may not know, right? And they may have some reactions to that, and I don't want you to be rejected in that. And so I think you need someone walking through this process with you.
That's good.
This man left legacy behind too, And
So Rick, here's what
Robbie Zacharias' story that has kind of brought this back up.
It's a terrible story. It is terrible. Listen, so Rick, what we'll do is we're going to try and get you connected with a therapist in your area that can help you with this process. I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice because I think that can also get you in that direction. But we're so grateful that you were brave enough to share that with us. And we're so sorry for what you experienced, but God has brought you through so much. And it sounds like you are thriving at this point, but want to continue that healing. And that's a great, great goal. We are praying for you. We're going to be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are going to continue taking your calls for another hour or so. We've got some lines open, but we also have some of you that are on hold, and we want you to stay there because we're going to get right to your call. And I just want to revisit just for 1 second that, you know, it was very brave for Rick to tell the truth. And if this is part of your story and you need a counselor or maybe even a coach, somebody who can help you through that healing process, give us a call because we want to help you experience freedom and not carry that around for a lifetime. Right now, Larry Sonnenberg's joined us in the studio. Hi, Larry. I know that you hear those testimonies so many times of how God has ministered to people through New Life. And I don't know if you have one that you're going to share with us today, but...
Well, can you imagine that? I do.
I can't.
This comes from a retired physician. He says, in recent years, I've listened to your program. The care and advice you provide is so important, and it's enlightening to learn it from Christian clinicians. In addition, I found information I could use when seeing patients in my office. Thank you so much for the work you perform and the lives you touch. Here's what I like. New Life is a different type of ministry when compared to others for whom we support. It does not feed, clothe, or house people. But in dealing with the relational and emotional problems you discuss every day, you help save individuals and relationships, which is a need as great as our more traditional ministries. The work you perform is so important. Thank you for caring. You provide for the sheep of Jesus' pasture. I like that because I've had people who tell me, I'd make a bigger gift, but I want to give to somebody that's doing evangelistic work, somebody that's feeding the homeless, somebody that's doing this. And they don't get how evangelistic our ministry is, being Jesus' feet right on the ground with the muck. And so I want to encourage folks, please consider that in your giving, because this is a real ministry. It's not just psychological goo that's going out. People's lives are changed because the Holy Spirit is responding to folks who take steps to try to find healing. And we need your help to continue it, so please make a gift. And what are we doing? Trust, is that the book?
Yep, Trust, yeah. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. for a gift Henry. Of any amount.
Yeah, so thank you. And I know you've got to get another call in. I want to get
out
of here.
Yes, we do. All right, well, thanks, Larry. Thanks. And if you want to give, you can call us or you can go to newlife.com. We are going to talk with Scott, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Scott, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Good afternoon. I wanted to ask you, from your expertise and studies as Christian brothers and sisters, a Christian that, like myself, that smokes cigarettes. I know that the Surgeon General gives a warning on that, clearly on the package, and you see the commercials, and plus what Paul talks about, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. I'm fighting this, and I wanted to know, just from your studies and maybe your experiences with some other fellow Christian brothers and sisters that had the same struggle, if one was to die in from cancer, say from doing that, do you see him or her as being saved when they die?
Great question. Great question, Scott. All right, JJ or Jill, whoever wants to go first.
Well, I'll jump right in and just say, absolutely, I would say they're saved. Whether I smoke cigarettes or drink alcohol or do other quote-unquote harder drugs or any number of other sinful or health-wise bad for me behaviors doesn't change my salvation. My salvation is simply based on whether or not I believe Jesus said is who he says he is, that he's the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead, and I've accepted him as my Lord. That's it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now the Holy Spirit may convict me to change behaviors. Oftentimes the Holy Spirit does convict me to change behaviors that are not good for me. But it's not because God's saying, well, if you don't get this right, I'm not letting you into heaven. It's God saying, this isn't good for you. And I want so much more for you. I love you too much to leave you continuing to stumble over these things that aren't good for you. But, you know, if if he doesn't let you into heaven because you smoke cigarettes, he's probably not going to let me into heaven because I'm addicted to sugar.
Yeah.
Right?
And we all have our imperfections.
I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest thing to pull up. I've got a whole other list of stuff that I, you know, it's probably not safe for radio that I could say would not let me into heaven, right? So, sorry, Jill.
Right, so your salvation isn't at stake, Scott. But if you're trying to be more and more Christ-like, right, and this is something that is causing you to stumble, it's something that has become an idol in your life, it's something that you're using instead of leaning on the Holy Spirit, of course you want to continue growing, right?
Amen.
And
right.
you want to try to get this out of your life just because you want to be more Christ-like and pleasing to Him, but not because He's not going to save you. Right? It's not
That's
based on our works, right?
Well, and I know, you know, Scott, one of the hardest drugs to kick is nicotine.
Oh, nicotine is. It's one of
it is. And over the years in practice, I would have folks that would come in that would be addicted to smoking, like what you're describing, but they'd also have something else going on in their life. And so it was like, let's not quit smoking right now because it's going to trigger a whole lot of other anxiety disorders. But I would ask, Scott, what else is going on and how long have you smoked, you know, that this is one of the habits that you're using to deal with whatever you're not dealing with?
Great question. I'm 52, just to be honest with my age. I started picking up this nasty habit at 15, early.
Mm-hmm.
And as the other was saying, I'm right now in the Word daily. I feel the need to do, I want to please God and grow closer, as she was just stating. And, of course, that's what the Holy Spirit shows me, and I want to share the good news, but at the same time, my thoughts is like, well, how can you tell somebody about the good news, and here you are, you're stuck on cigarettes, and I know mm-hmm. the Scripture says Jesus came to set the captives free, and he did, I know he did, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's like, okay, then where's your faith, Scott? You know, you say you believe in Christ, and He's your Lord and Savior, and He is. And it's a gift, though. I understand it's a gift, but at the same time, I want to be pleasing to Him. So there's that struggle that mm-hmm. Paul talks about. I know in Romans 7, where you do want to do what's right, but then yet you do the wrong thing,
right?
And it's that mm-hmm. constant battle that
right.
I'm dealing with.
Well, and Scott, you are physically addicted after all
right,
these years, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. So you are going to need help with that.
Right.
It's just not a matter of your will.
And that is so important to identify too, Scott, because this, if you could just quit, you would have done it already.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
so you have to get into a process, and we can connect you with somebody, or even, I know there's so many smoker cessation programs that are out there, but just hold on. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Bible too, because that's going to be helpful in your freedom, but it's a dual problem with the nicotine addiction as well as just the process of quitting. But we're so glad you called, and thank you, JJ and Jill, for clearing that up, because I think that's a common misconception that we have to get all cleaned
up. It makes you feel bad, right?
Yeah.
It makes you
feel
bad, and so it's like, if you feel bad, doesn't God feel bad about you too?
Right.
And JJ, to your point about sugar, there are a lot of things that we are using in our life that are not exactly what God has in mind for us. And to live a free life is really what He wants for us. We're going to continue taking calls in this next hour. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Jill. And thank you, JJ, for your wisdom. And thank you, listeners, for all you do to help others know about New Life. And I hope you will share, because it may make all the difference in their lives.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.